guys, it's JB. We are switching roles this week for the culture segment, and I will be interviewing Lisa. Woo-woo-woo. Okay, so we're going to go in with an easy question. Are you ready?
Well, you're just ready to kick it off right off the bat.
Well, I'm serious about this. Okay. We are going to deep dive into your life.
I would at least like to greet everyone and indicate that I have not heard any of these questions yet. And Athena, our producer, thought it would be a good idea because she was like, hey, you interviewed JB for when she came here on the blog. But I've just been around for a long time, and so I kind of manage
forever.
What's said
You've
about
been around
me.
Forever.
Let's not say forever. but anyway, so we thought that, and by we, I mean Athena, thought that this would be fun. But I think it's very good of me that I didn't even require you to give me the questions ahead of time.
No, you didn't. And it is going to be fun.
Okay.
At least for all of us who are listening to you. And maybe if these questions make you uncomfortable, it will be really fun.
It's like behind the scenes of my life.
Yes.
As it is. The excitement. Yes. There's
okay.
So much excitement.
The first one's easy. Are you ready?
Yep.
What's it like being on that side of the table?
It's
are you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous at all. And it's actually kind of fun because usually when I'm interviewed, because I do a lot of radio interviews and stuff like that, it's about something like singleness or dating or whatever. So it's kind of fun to actually like believe that I have other things about my life than just those two, which I'm not sure many people are convinced of. So this will be good. I would like to, you know, talk about other things that I do. I just need to think of what they are in between now and when you ask them. So
you have value. You're trying to tell me that you have value apart from being a single woman.
I do. And I was told, you know, when I was young, JB, my dad, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, which was like well into my 30s, pretty much had to decide. My dad was like, you could pretty much talk your way out of a paper bag. And so he thought I should be a lawyer. You know, I like
sure.
to talk a lot. I like to persuade people to my point of view, and then when I can't persuade them, I just like to chatter on, and so this will be fun. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to make it up.
Why didn't you pursue law?
Because I felt like it was too much effort. Like, I like talking about things, but not necessarily having to know what I'm talking about. So it was,
so
I just felt like
job.
It was a lot of, yeah, I felt like it was a lot of just pontificating as one of my strengths,
sure.
On things that I'm not necessarily knowledgeable about. So, yeah, I thought this was a good happy medium.
Okay, so what is the hardest part of your job?
Hmm.
Or the part that you like least? Or both?
Okay. I would say the part that I like least is definitely the stuff that trends towards things that I'm not good at, which is anything that doesn't have to do with relational communication kind of stuff. So the fact that my job still involves budgets and like reconciling line item things that have to go, you know, because as director of young adults, I am responsible for everything that happens in that sphere. So that does include our budget. It includes something here at Focus that we call business cases. So anytime we want to do something new and great, it involves a business case, which is like a 30-page document of statistics and justifications and research and pulling all that kind of stuff together. And it's just mind-boggling for me. So I would say that's the least
I'm
favorite.
So glad that's not part of my job.
And it will be as soon as I foist it off on you. I'm going to find a way to make it part of your job.
You just so. Wait.
Woo, woo. Okay. Good times.
Favorite part of your job?
I would say the first thing that comes to mind, the favorite part of my job is hands down interacting with our audience. So whether it is, I mean, every week I do that talking at people on the show, but anytime someone writes me a note or shows up on social media or on the blog, or better yet, shows up in our office because they came here on vacation or just on their honeymoon or whatever, the fact that I can be like, oh my word, the people we talk to are actually real, like they have faces and mm-hmm. they're not just bots, you know, and stuff is super, super cool. So I would say that is probably the coolest thing, that our audience is so engaged, so excited, so vocal. It's a blast. It's not even like a job.
Yeah.
That part of it.
And I don't get to talk to the Boundless audience very much, but I have to tell you guys, you are so devoted. I have never seen an audience like Boundless as before. You guys are just so involved with the regular bloggers and the people who are writing articles and the podcast and the events. And it is awesome. And I really love you. This isn't my interview, but I felt like it's important to say.
Feel free to weigh in.
Feel free to weigh in. David, also, and you should swing by the offices whenever you're here, if you ever are in Colorado Springs.
Absolutely.
Because Lisa and I don't do any real work, so.
And there are over 350 days of sun here a year or something, or maybe 300. I don't know.
I've heard
it's
that.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Worst job you've ever had?
Oh, I have to narrow it down. Pretty much anything I did in my 20s. I would say no.
Me too.
Yeah, I bounced around, and I've talked about this before on the show, just how I think people think I've just had this completely upward directional career trajectory, and it's not true at all. Probably my worst job lasted one day, and I was a temporary employee. I signed up with this temp agency, and I did a lot of temping in my 20s, and nothing wrong with temping, y'all. But the one job I was assigned to was data entry for a big insurance company. And I showed up. They assumed that I knew a 10 key, which I didn't. And I was given about a foot high ream of paper that was full of, it was just numbers. It was probably like 12 digit numbers, just rows and rows of them. And I had to enter them all day. Gosh. And I went to the bathroom several times and just burst into tears. And then I called, maybe I did it 2 days or something. And then I called the agency and I'm like, I cannot do this without imploding, and I will not be able to do it. I also counted lasagna noodles, and believe it or not, that was better than the data entry job. So
that's hilarious. You counted noodles? Like for a restaurant?
Like for a, for a packaging company, like a pasta company. Yeah,
like where they say sure, like serving size and amount per box.
Like QCing to make sure that the right number of noodles went in the box.
That sounds awful.
No, it was bad. But I like pasta, just not, you know, raw and in boxes.
I don't want to count it.
Yeah.
Unless it's going in my mouth. The worst job I've ever had. Uh-huh. I asked you this so that I could tell my story.
Yeah.
The worst job I've ever had was selling peaches on the side of the road.
Oh, wow.
My dad started this thing. Of course he did. Mm-hmm. And he started this thing where he had like 18 peach stands, and he was like the head of like the peach mafia, you know, and we all like reported to him every day. And so I was 16 on the side of the road in Greensboro, North Carolina, selling peaches out of like a tent.
Wow.
Rain or shine.
Well, was it bad just because it was boring?
It was really hot.
Okay.
And if you eat too many peaches, it does horrible things to your digestion.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to eat them. You're supposed to sell them.
Yeah, ideally.
I don't know.
But if you're out there all day alone.
You just eat them and you're like, no, these were sold, Dad, really.
Right. That's, like, oh, that one has a bruise. Nom, nom, nom.
There's only four left. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and right. You had to go through the peaches and cull them. So like ones that were getting moldy or too mushy or something, you had to physically touch them to move them out of the box.
Mm.
That's bad news.
That is.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Who is your role model and why?
Wow. You know, I'll have to pick a specific person, I'm sure, here. Let me give a time. Dave, our engineer, is pointing to himself. He's definitely at the top of the list. But I feel I just give him too many props as it is. So I'm going to have to pick someone else. Okay. First, I would say it's a type of person. And that is a person who is confident in who they are and knows what they believe and is not ashamed to express it. So throughout, you know, history, that has been everyone from, you know, big historical figures like Abe Lincoln and all that kind of stuff, to the Jim and Elizabeth Elliotts of the world, to the so I would say that, but again, it's anyone who is that way but then also is just super humble about what God has called them to do. And so in that space, my goodness, let me just say, like, currently I love reading people. Anytime I read something by like a David Platt, mm-hmm. I'm very impressed with just what he is saying and doing in the Christian space. I don't know. I might have to think more about that and blog about it in the future, but yeah.
We'll accept those.
Okay.
The Elliots and David Platt.
Okay.
And Abraham
yeah.
Lincoln.
They're good. Yeah. And Abe Lincoln.
Sure.
And Jesus.
And Jesus. Mm-hmm. Sure. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick someone to interview that you've never interviewed before,
mm-hmm.
who would it be?
Okay. Well, speaking of the Elliots, one of my great sadnesses was that I didn't interview Elizabeth mm-hmm. Elliot before she died. And so I will do that when I see her in heaven.
microphone in hand.
Yeah. I would also love to interview John Piper because I feel that he is one of those people I throw his name about a lot. And I actually attended, I went to his church when I lived in Minneapolis. That was my church. And this was back before, you know, Twitter was all huge and he was this social media giant and stuff. He was just a normal guy. But he's one of those guys. There aren't many people that intimidate me or that I feel like I would be nervous interviewing. But he's one of those guys that every time I've ever talked to him and I have not interviewed him, you just feel like he's looking at you and saying, you are most likely not a Christian. I mean, I feel like he would look at me and be like, and you too, JB, you have watched The Bachelor. Clearly, you don't love Jesus. You know, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you haven't gone to 4 Sunday services this weekend. So you might want to shore that up a little bit. So, but just, I've always been, especially when he was my pastor, his love for missions and mm-hmm. for the value of the local church in culture, and the fact that, you know, this is like a John Piper infomercial. the church, Bethlehem Baptist, there in Minneapolis, they require their pastors and elders to live in that community, which is mm-hmm. not a great community in downtown Minneapolis. It's very poor. They do a lot of ministry there. And so I just think he's got a lot going on. He's That's a cool awesome. Guy. Call me John.
Also, he's not a very intimidating man to look at.
No.
Like, he's a little small of stature and, mm-hmm. and frame. And so it is funny that I find him intimidating as well.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'll have his video up to watch a sermon or something.
Yeah.
And I, like, can't have it facing me. Because I'm like, I just don't want you seeing all this, you know?
Yeah. Well, you'll be pleased to hear this. Another person I would like to, this is opposite end of the spectrum. I think it would be fun to interview like a Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Because, not going to lie, I would be like, dude, what is going on with you? I mean, this guy, I feel like I would be a little challenging of him to be like, it's time to stop talking about a wife and maybe go out and get one. So, Tim, you can call me too and we'll talk.
And if he's taking applications,
and then
I will definitely
set you
send
up.
Mine in.
Okay, I will set you up if I can interview him. So,
hey, Tim. Okay, another serious question for you.
Yep.
If you had a superpower, mm-hmm. what would it be?
This is one of those that you're afraid to say what you'd really want because you know it wouldn't be a good thing, like reading people's minds and stuff.
That's horrible.
Not good. And then the obvious one is flying, but I know that God's going to let me do that in heaven, like for sure.
You're going to fly.
I feel like I'm just going to be able to do all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb, and this is kind of like the reading people's minds, but I think it would be fun to be able to be invisible. And just one, so that when, you know, sometimes I may or may not be approached by a creeper or two at a conference, I could just go invisible. And two, when I just want to see what people, you know, are doing and I'm kind of nosy about it, I can be invisible and kind of listen in.
If you somehow acquire that superpower, mm-hmm. you should let us know because it might just change the way we talk in the cubes.
I will not let anyone know because then I will finally get the true picture of what goes on around me when I'm not paying attention. So beware.
Yeah. First CD you ever owned.
Oh, yeah. This I actually know, and it's kind of a weird thing. So I went out and bought this CD. It was actually, I don't know how many people know, but I play the flute, and I actually played like semi-professionally I took lessons for 17 years and played well out of college. I have a music minor. And so I was very into different flutists or flautists, however you want to say it. So it was just a flute player named Rodica Miller, and I bought her CD. I did not have a CD player. I just bought a CD because I was like, I want this CD. And so that was definitely one of my first, and I would say probably I know that like the Jesus Freak album was one of the first as well, kind of up there, early 90s.
We were placing bets, and Dave said the Gaithers.
His bet was. Really? Yeah, no, I didn't really even come into my love of the Gaithers until, you know, later in life. I would say it was more of a coming full circle of remembering my childhood and getting into them. Now I have a lot of Gaithers. Yeah, maybe volume wise as far as CDs, there's a lot of those for sure.
Would that be the CDs, like the artists that you own the most CDs in, would be the Gaithers?
Probably, but that's because the Gaithers probably have like 75 to 100 albums out between their various artists and whatever. So I don't have all of them, but, you know, I'm working on my collection. So I don't know who else I have a lot of.
I know. I feel like the only person who I own every album they put out on CD is Britney Spears.
That's not good.
I know, I know. I'm not like proud of that. But I also just felt like it was time to confess something.
Okay. Time to...
So, Brittany.
That's... You know what? I'm going to lend you a few Gaithers, and we're going to see if we can kind of come full circle.
Balance
on that.
Me out a little.
Britney Spears. Wow. All right.
So, if you've had a horrible day, I don't know why this would happen because you work with such awesome people.
Very true.
But just in theory, you have a horrible day, and you get in your car. What song would you put on the radio or like MP3 or whatever?
Yeah. I've actually done this. I've had a horrible, in fact, I talked about it in my book where I had a horrible breakup and I had this praise fest, and probably one of the songs that is a go-to for me, and I'll say actually one of the albums is Nicole C. Mullins' Live from Cincinnati album. I just love her. I think she's a great songwriter. I think she's a great performer. And so it could be anything from Call on Jesus to Redeemer to I Get on My Knees to Talk About It. All of her stuff I just love. She would be a great one. And then for just straight out pepping me up, one of my favorites of all times is Whitney Houston's I Wanna Dance. So
Whitney.
That's just a good one that
that is a good
can
one.
Always get me going.
Yep, that's pretty good. I'll accept this.
Okay.
Okay, now we're going to play a game.
Okay.
Called What Is Your? And so it's just going to be a series of like, what is your blank? What is your blank? What is your blank?
Okay.
Are you ready?
What is your? Yes, I'm ready.
What is your greatest fear?
Being in an enclosed space that's filling with water.
Do you have dreams about this?
I don't actually. I rarely remember dreams, but I will say that that scene in Titanic where that woman with her kids are just chilling there and they're like, she's like, we're going down, you know, and she knows it. I was nervous wreck. And that, I mean, if the Titanic were around, I probably would not get on it for that reason because I would be third class and I would not make it.
I heard that they're rebuilding the Titanic and like relaunching it at sea.
Well, that's kind of cool. Okay. Yeah. maybe I'll go on it if they go to the Caribbean, but I don't want any icebergs in my future.
No. All right. What is your greatest strength?
Oof. I would say probably greatest strength is... the ability to be optimistic about anything and kind of go by, you know, fly by the seat of my pants, be like, you know what, this may be not great, but tomorrow's going to be great and just roll with it.
You guys, I second that. She's great at that. Even if you mess up, she'll come in and be like, yeah, it's all right.
Yep.
You'll be okay.
Yep.
Greatest
does not
weakness.
Have our no eternal implications as far as I know.
No.
Yeah, for the most part.
Hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Greatest weakness.
Greatest weakness. Are you too punctual?
No. I definitely can talk about weaknesses that are not cloaked strengths, let me tell you. You know, I would say one of them is I can definitely be perceived as or be insensitive. I like to blame it on being a super duper thinker on the Myers-Briggs, but I've been totally clueless when I'm talking to friends about stuff and they're just like borderline in tears because I'm just putting something out there and they're like, yeah. And in fact, I had a girl worked for me back in the day who I was editing a piece of her work. And she comes back to me and she's like, Lisa, maybe if I could just recommend if you maybe sandwich things. And here's how you do it. You say something really positive and then you give what you want changed and then you wrap it up in something positive again. And I've just always actually loved when she said that because I put it into practice and it has worked for me. So
I haven't even noticed if you've done that to me.
I
have to like
gotten better
think
at
about it.
Yeah. Now I do it, you know, much more, much better at it. So
I'm gonna be
subtle.
Looking out for your sandwiches, though. Oh no, it's coming. She's being real nice.
Exactly. Yep.
What is your favorite book?
I mean, this is the typical girl response. The one that I can read over and over again is Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. I love the dialogue in it. Huge, huge fan of it. Yeah, that's the first.
I'll let you be cliche.
Okay.
It's okay.
Thank you.
What is your favorite food?
My favorite single item food is probably the olive.
Ew.
I absolutely love olives of all kinds. And since grocery stores started those like olive bars, I love just walking by them and being like, what are the olives here today? And once in a while, I'll just buy a little small assortment. So,
like, you could eat olives plain.
Oh, I do eat olives plain. I used to get a can of black olives in my stocking every year for Christmas from my dad.
That would be like getting coal. Like, that's equivalency.
No, I absolutely love it. There are many things that I will eat out of a can, including baked beans. Cold. Love them. Probably prefer them cold out of a can than cooked or anything. Yeah.
This is going to like a really dark place right now. Just really upset about the turn we've taken.
Very fun.
Okay, now we're going to do a speed round.
Okay.
Of this or that.
Okay.
And you have to answer with your first instinct, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
This might be what's wrapping us up. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Breakfast or lunch?
Breakfast.
Eggs or pancakes?
Pancakes.
Mexican or Italian food?
Mexican.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird if I can handle it. Yeah. If I get to bed at a decent time, I'm definitely an early bird.
Fruits or vegetables?
Vegetables.
Texting or talking on the phone?
Texting.
Every time. Fall or spring?
Spring.
Really?
But really summer.
Yeah.
Well, summer overall. That wasn't enough. For sure.
Yeah. Broken leg or broken arm?
Oh, dear. I have not broken either, praise God. I was broken arm because legs are just cause right. All kinds of problems.
Yeah. Chick flick or horror movie?
Chick flick, for sure.
Hiccups for the rest of your life, or that feeling that you have to sneeze and you can't.
What?
Yeah, you
both
have to pick one.
Those are horrible. I'm gonna say sneezing. I think.
Really?
I don't know.
That's the worst. Your eyes are watering. Yeah. You need to like find a light to look at.
Okay, well, if I would have picked hiccups, you would have had some really. That's like you're just constantly probably. Like taking an air.
Okay, this is the last one, and it's a doozy.
Okay.
Date a very, very hairy man or a very, very small man? A snack, if you will.
Oh, my goodness. You know how I feel about snacks. I love you guys, but it's just hard to date you. I don't know. Especially if you're a worship leader. I'm going to go with hairy because I feel that can be remedied.
So we're saying like beard, chest, back,
like
arms.
They're gonna own it or they're gonna be up for some waxing because
no, he wears flannel, he's not up for waxing.
Oh, okay. I don't know, I might still pick hair.
All right,
we'll see.
We'll let you do that.
Yeah,
well
maybe
this
then
was...
it trends into personality then because I could totally date a little snack if he's just hilarious.
What if he wore like v-necks though?
Okay, yeah, that's tricky. I don't know. Okay.
Better than the hairy guy wearing a v-neck, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, this was really fun.
Very fun.
Thanks for telling us all your deepest, darkest secrets.
Well, absolutely. So write to me, folks, if you disagree with any of them.
Yes, so. And if you have anything else super personal and invasive that you want to ask Lisa, send it in, and we will make sure to get it in the next time.
Which I may or may not answer. Yeah. We'll see.
Reserve right. All right. Yay. I hope you guys enjoyed getting to eavesdrop on Lisa's interrogation today. She is pretty hilarious and she's got some great dating stories and she's also kind of legit. So if you need more dating advice, the stuff that I wish I had known 10 years ago before I got myself in this mess, you need to check out Lisa's latest book. It's The Dating Manifesto. If you go on boundless.org today with a gift of any amount, you can receive the book. You know, we exist because of donations from people like you. And so your gift means a whole lot to us. It helps keep Boundless afloat. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.